Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, as we stare down the face of pedophile elite terrorism, Fukushima fears, war with Russia, paying your taxes, and having everything pulled out from underneath us as we try to stand at this, we stand scared and angry, full of fear and not knowing what to do. As the cosmic energies of our planet become increasingly infused with the contrasting expressions of light and dark frequencies, this is a time of transition, and many of us, whether we're conscious of it or not, are being elevated in these experiences of breakdowns and breakthroughs at an accelerated pace. We are being pushed to awaken, to align with our divine force, and this process is bringing up anything that is not the same frequency that our spirit is currently downloading, and we must transmute it. How do we face this darkness, and how do we awaken our lightness in this war of our minds? Tonight we are going to discuss this with Bernard Gunther. He is the host of veilofreality.com and filmmaker, author, and an amazing person that has gone through a transformative development through holistic healing by applying an array of spiritual paths to find our way through the light and dark. Gunther, why do I do that every time? Bernard, I want to call you Gunther. Bernard, please, welcome to the show. It is so good to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's an honor, Freeman. And by the way, it's pretty normal. I have two first names, Bernhard Gunther. So
Bernhard Gunther and veilofreality.com. And we are going to discuss today some of these occult forces that we're dealing with, some of the mentality that we're going through. We're going to learn how to know ourselves and how to integrate the darkness that we're having. So Bernard, right now, I mean, I'm dealing with all kinds of trauma, past trauma. I'm dealing with future trauma. The whole world is looking at future trauma. And I'm pretty certain that I repress all my fear and anger and try to just bully through. I feel like Survivor Man, and that I must just keep going, must keep going. And my soul tells me all the time that there is more to life than this. How do we adjust our mentality in this time of transition? Let's jump straight into your work and get into this hyperdimensional matrix control system and understand the process of awakening.
Okay, well, first of all, needs to be understood that this process we all have gone through and are going through, and what's coming up more and more for many people in this day and age, is a natural process in light of the evolution of consciousness and the awakening process, right? The dark is coming to light. It's like it's the apocalypse, which means the unveiling, right? A lot of stuff is coming up, which needs to be looked at and transmuted, right? So getting into all kinds of negative emotional states like anger, frustration, depression, all of that, these are just symptoms of a deeper awakening, right? So even as Krishnamurti said, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. So that's what we're actually experiencing, right?
Right.
So it's a healthy reaction, which actually shows you your spiritual immune system is intact. And, you know, that's already part of the quote-unquote healing and awakening process if we get through these phases where we feel just really lost or angry and all of that.
I mean, obviously, that's the where we're at right now. I mean, obviously everybody is panicking. Yeah. They don't know what their future holds. They've got this bizarre president that no one knows what to expect from him. And everybody is in chaos and disarray and just lashing out in any way, shape, or form that they can.
See, that's the problem that, you know, Trump is serving as the main trigger in this time right now, obviously, right? But that's the quote-unquote problem. If people lash out and project onto the outside world, onto each other, and with all the blame, conflict, arguments, and all of that, right? Instead of really going more inside it and establishing more what I call a zero-point non-reactive point of consciousness, right? Where we don't just mechanically react, right, emotionally and all of that, but engage in deeper self-work, shadow work, where we ignite the fire of alchemical transmutation within, right? Which is essentially what all the ancient esoteric teachings talked about when it comes to self-development and the awakening process, right? And when I say don't project it outwardly, I don't mean to suppress these emotions, right? It's not about now swallowing the new age pill and denying the dark or ignoring negative emotions or even judging them as bad, right? But there needs to be an internal process in order to transmute and process these emotions. And there are various ways to do that. And it really comes down to, in general, to get out of our heads, get out of our minds and get more into the body, right? And surrender more to a process. There's a bigger process happening here. And that is different for each of us, right? So it is also, in light of what you just mentioned, the so-called hyperdimensional matrix, it's important not to get stuck on the 3D manifestations, the shadow on the wall, which are just symptoms, right? Even all the control mechanisms from government to even secret societies, they're also under the influence of these hyperdimensional forces, which have been ruling over humanity for thousands and thousands of years, working through their puppets and even through ourselves, the predator mind, as Castaneda talked about, right? And the tactic is always the same. It's all about divide and conquer, right? To keep in a frequency in place that is very egocentric, based on limited five sensory perception, and survival, right? The whole survival mode based on fear, which is ultimately rooted in the fear of death. And so we fight each other, and through this fighting and projecting outwardly in anger, we actually create all the emotional luge, all the frequencies, which is what these hidden occult forces feed upon. That is literally all what they are out for, so to speak, no matter who they put in place and who is in charge of what. So it is really important not to get into this reactive state in this day and age, right? And watch our triggers and really, you know, engage more in this, what I call embodiment process, this soul anchoring where we align with something higher, the divine force. And that opens up the path to our individual soul path, so to speak, right? As we shed our illusions, as we shed our social, cultural, religious, or even spiritual conditioning and all of that, in order to anchor and embody the higher frequencies, right? But this process, as we see now happening and increasing, is not a comfortable process at all, right? Because it really entails utter disillusionment, right? Facing our own conditioning, programming, the lies we've been telling ourselves, and all of that, and going through what in esoteric science is called the moral bankruptcy, or you can even see the symbolism of the second birth, right? To be reborn in your true self aligned with spirit. But before this can happen, the old needs to die. So we also see this in the outside world where the old the institutions and systems are crumbling down, you know, they're breaking away, and it needs to die, so to speak. So it's not about trying to save the world, trying to save the country or all of that, and externally, you know, frantically looking for solution and fixing this or that. It's really this internal process where we really embody this higher frequency, and that has profound effects on the outside world as we align with the cosmic energies that are being bombarded right now. The planet is bombarded with in this day and age. And
all the mystics and magicians speak of archetypal forces. They right. are outlined as angels. They are outlined as just archetypal forces that we are in particular moments and particular times. And this is where astrology comes in, or the tarot. In the idea that there are continuous archetypal forces that magicians that know themselves, you know thyself being the main phrase of the magicians, can then know what archetypal force they're in at that moment and adjust themselves to that. And right now, I mean, I'm seeing this clash of masculine, feminine. It seems like this is the main point of our archetypal force, with, you know, it being epitomized in the Trump-Hillary debates and elections, and how outraged everybody is at this moment that, you know, white males need to die. They're all screaming and crying. And so these archetypal forces are both in a positive and negative, but they're there. And we are in a point where in our mentality, we completely ignore anything that's outside of the real world system. And we're not taking into account any of this type of frequency from the Matrix.
Right. Absolutely. As you just said, and what I also mentioned before, that alchemical inner process of transmutation is essentially the inner alchemical marriage of the inner male and female, right? And one thing, what is happening in the world right now, it's being that process being externalized about genders, right? And that's, you have the whole corruption of feminism and all of that, and, you know, all that with what that goes along. But essentially, you know, since we live in the patriarchy, yes, to a degree, and we know women have been suppressed and so on, it's important to understand that the divine, what people call divine feminine, divine masculine, these archetypes, you know, it's we have these parts within ourselves. So we actually live more in a patriarchal society or world where it's stuck in the male aspect of consciousness, meaning being stuck in the head and over analytical and in a fragmentized state of consciousness, not seeing unity and wholeness, right? And
yeah, how swear if we evolved. Oh, sorry. I just swear if we evolved into what we think we are, we would have these skinny little nothing bodies with these giant heads, because we pretty much moved out of the body.
Exactly. So the process is to go back, you know, the divine feminine is even in Qigong, or down, you know, which I practice, in the Dan Tien, the belly, the gut, the pelvic floor, that nonverbal intuitive guidance, right, which is to connect it to our wholeness within, to the wholeness of nature, and essentially to spirit and the divine, right? And this, the male needs to basically surrender to the feminine, right, within. And basically it means the feminine is rooted in being, right, and just being fully grounded and tuned into this whole holistic way of living. And then from being, the male aspect consciousness can respond with doing, right? Right now, everybody is over frantically cut in, like, when somebody needs to do something, And it's just, you know, many coming from well-meaning intentions, but they come from a fragmented state of consciousness stuck in the head, providing fragmented solutions to fragmented problems. So it just spirals out and creates more suffering and friction, because there's no wholeness, right? And like, as you mentioned as well, like, yeah, it's important, these archetypes, we all play in our own roles in our ways, and depending where we're at individually in our own lives. You can even see it as simply as the hero's journey from Joseph Campbell, of the different steps and cycles within. And it's all cycles. So astrology also shows that there are bigger cycles, right? Even our personal lives, when it comes to Saturn return or Uranus opposition and all of that. So it's important to keep these archetypes in mind, that, and knowing that we are playing a certain role, right? And there is a purpose behind this madness, so to speak. If we kind of can apply this archetypal knowledge within our own lives, but not also at the same time not falling in the danger of identifying with the archetype, but we think that we are that, right? We're just, it is just a role we play, and it really depends on where each person is in their individual life situation.
Well, let's give the audience an example of how this could work. I want to throw something out there. The appeal of Star Wars, folks, and the reason Disney spent so much money on it is because it writes right within the hero cycle, as he's speaking from Joseph Campbell. And I wonder right now if we're not in the belly of the beast. I don't know. But the thing is that this archetypal hero cycle is so encoded in our DNA that's what made Star Wars so popular. It was speaking to the archetypal codes within our own DNA and then rewriting what the hero cycle was. And so there's these magicians of Hollywood that are controlling our archetypal forces and creating what it means to go through the hero cycle. And I would think that at this point, we would also talk about the ideas of initiation and rites of passage that have been lost, being able to ascend to adulthood. This is something, I mean, Crowley put us in the age of the crowned and conquering child at this moment. And so, I'm going from to explaining to you folks that the idea that we have the genetic basis of these archetypes, then those archetypal forces are used against us in media like Star Wars, which everybody doesn't know why they loved it so much, but because of these forces within us, they can manipulate this, and magicians are the ones that want to utilize these forces against us. Well, I would call them more sorcerers.
Right.
Yeah, anywhere you want to go.
No, absolutely. A great point. And especially in Hollywood, we also see actually a very oversimplified journey of the hero. There are many, many other steps and many traps and all of that. And, as you know, in most movies are based on that archetype. And that's rightly so why people resonate with it, right? But as you and many of your listeners know as well, truth is mixed with lies, right? So the best way to lure the seeker in and divert him on his path or vector him or her off the path is to install that resonance with some deeper truth, but then distort it and manipulate it and make it in some sort of fairy tale, you know, where the hero gets the girl and rides off the sunset happily ever after.
Yeah, right. Doesn't happen.
No.
Yes, it gives us these unattainable goals and puts these ideas into us that, you know, just takes you right out of your own personal experience at that time. And I don't know if we're ready to go there, but the dark side, you know, as we're talking about Star Wars, we've got the ideas of reconciliation with the Father, and we've got the idea of dealing with your dark side. Now, in magic, the dark side is known as the Kleefot, and it's believed that you need to go into this place that Robert Anton Wilson said was the place where the souls of those that died insane dwell. And we need to go inside of ourselves in this process and stir up all that darkness. Now, is it a positive process to bring forth this darkness, this hatred and anger and frustration? How do you deal with that? Because that's where most people are at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a positive process in the sense of, you know, the only way out is through. It's about making the darkness conscious. You know, as Carl Jung also said, it's no matter, what did he say? Enlightenment is not about imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. Right. And also the darkness is also most often just that which is unconscious. Right. So it's not about judging the dark as negative or whatnot. It has its function, right? And even these quote-unquote dark evil forces, you know, also fulfill their cosmic function. They're basically a teaching function in this duality we live in, right? We cannot eradicate evil completely on this level of duality because that defines it all, right? So, but when we are confronted with, you know, negative states of rage and anger and all of that, you know, especially it's important what I feel to understand basics, you know, even basic psychology from a Jungian perspective, shadow work, right? When we get triggered by something, you know, what other people say or what's happening in the world tremendously and have a very overreactive emotional reaction, that's a sign to where the work is within ourselves. There's a trigger, right? And, most often the trigger relates to something else within our own lesson, our own path, maybe childhood wounding, trauma and whatnot, you know, or even like we can go even deeper esoterically, past lives and whatnot. So much is coming in, you know, all together, which the mind cannot even fully grasp and understand, karma and all of that, right? So
would you say it's true that you can't be angry about something that you're not angry with yourself about?
I would not oversimplify that.
Yeah,
because I feel that's even like where some people oversimplify Jungian psychology. And I feel like as much as I love Carl Jung and shadow work, that it also has its limitations because not everything is essentially our shadow aspect. Because there are, for example, you know, I know Carl Jung talked about the UFO phenomena as just being a projection of our collective unconscious and all of that. when you look deep and truly sincere research, there are forces out there living in their own world, in their own reality, that are not aspects of our own unconscious shadow, right? So yeah, we can be angry at certain aspects in the world that is not necessarily related to our shadow, right? But then that anger is also more, manifests or expresses itself in a more creative force, because there's nothing wrong with anger per se. It's just how we use it. It's energy, and we can use it constructively and creatively to initiate change within ourselves and the world. Then it's a very positive force, but it doesn't help if we just lash out and are pissed off and just, you know, cuss out other people or the psychopaths in the world, right? So yeah, it's not that black and white. And the process again is really to feel these emotions. Like in my personal practice, and I've gone through a lot, I mean, the whole reason why I started quote unquote seeking truth, taking the red pill, was because of my own suffering. I was deeply depressed and despair and anger, pissed off at the world. I couldn't fit in and all of that.
You sounded a lot like me in that you were far too intelligent and emotionally sensitive for this world. And really, we are beaten down, and here we are, Bernard. We're now speaking to the world. You know, we're the ones that were, you know, pretty much just trying to retreat to our own little world because the rest of the world was just too harsh for us. And yeah. I could see where you and I really bond on that level, where we're just too intelligent and sensitive for this world.
Exactly. I mean, and even like, you know, back in the days in the 90s when I started my awakening process and you started your work, it was a very different time than nowadays, right? So yeah, as you can see probably in your work as well, more and more people resonate with it and actually are attracted to it, because more people are experiencing this moral bankruptcy, this breakdown and like confusion, and start to actually question the world. Back then, we were really outsiders, and everybody, you know, a lot of people called us crazy and all of that. But you're right, it's my own sensitivity was, resulted in all the suffering. And then I realized too that the depression, the suffering, the anger, and everything I was going through was an initiatory process, right? And like you mentioned before, in our modern society, we don't have a rite of passage into adulthood in all of that, right? In fact, our society and with the whole corrupted health system and psychotherapy and antidepressants is telling us that something is wrong with us if we're depressed. You're sick, right? Take this pill so you feel happy again. So most of these modern health or psychological healing, quote unquote, therapies are designed to put us back to sleep, to put us, plug us back into the matrix, you know, instead of understanding or coming from a point that this process is already the healing process. Our spiritual immune system is responding, and we just need to go through with it and not get stuck in it. See, that's what I see a lot of people then in this day and age, what's happening to them. And I've been there myself. I call it, or Gurdjieff called it, the trap of the revolutionary mind, right? Where we get just stuck in the 3D matrix and like, fuck this, fuck that. We need to like kill the psychopaths and all of that. But essentially, that is, again, goes back to the hyperdimensional matrix and these occult forces. That is exactly what they feed upon as well, is this projection, that emotional luge, and keeps us in this conflict, as cycle of conflict and divide and conquer, right?
Yes, absolutely. So the more that you dabbled and dealt into all different type of mystic trainings, you've been through so many different practices and understandings. The first thing that really struck me when I started digging into the esoteric and the occult was how legitimate the science was, how real this all was, and how people see it as like some, you know, sorcerer in his basement, like, you know, something out of a Disney film or something. But this is really an internal work that many, many people have dabbled in, have gone off into these other dimensions and then brought back the best descriptions that they can for this. And that is all utilized within the realms of magic and the different spiritual paths that you've taken in shamanism and psychology and self-work. And we, I got thrown off there. The reality of this practice of the occult and the esoteric. See, as we brought this to the surface and started to awaken the public to the ideas of the esoteric, it was immediately demonized. And then when you start talking about the shadow work, Clefot, and dealing with the abyss and the dark side, then people, you know, immediately were freaking out and saying, oh my God, we're run by these crazy wizards, which is kind of true, but it's so much more grounded than that, I guess, is the point I'm trying to get to.
Right. Well, and as you just said, it's important to understand, you know, it is an esoteric science, a science of self-work, the science of awakening, literally, right? And but also, as you mentioned rightly, it's all about these teachings, and this knowledge has been brought to us via symbolism and allegories, right? So most often people take things literal. For example, alchemical process, you know, the fusion or the transmutation from lead into gold. It's not like, it's not an external chemical process, lead being symbolized as ego or matter to be transmuted into spirit in alignment with divine will, right? So that as a basic example. And obviously I was over there, as you have seen in your work as well, a lot of this occult knowledge and esotericism has also become distorted and hijacked, and we see a lot of this hijacking, distortion, and corruption in the so-called New Age, right? Which has taken some of these concepts and completely distorted them. Also, you know, distorted by these forces, you know, who control us, as I mentioned earlier, via mixing truth with lies. So the discernment aspect is really important. However, the discernment aspect cannot just happen through the mind of just using critical thinking, which is important, logic and all of that. But the whole point is, you know, especially with esoteric science, to reach a level of being where you also tap into higher knowledge, gnosis, right, which the mind cannot perceive or download via logic alone. And Gurdjieff, for example, talked about the triad of knowledge, being, and understanding, and all the triad of those. And one cannot exist without the other. And we see, especially in this day and age, with the information overload on the internet, which has its good sides, obviously, but there's so much information and people get stuck in just taking in information and knowledge, but they don't understand it because being has not caught up with knowledge. Being meaning the embodiment process, the emotional intelligence, the shadow work, the clearing of the vessels within, that can then truly anchor the knowledge so it becomes applied knowledge, and that results to understanding. So we truly live it and act on it, you know, and don't have just mental intellectual concepts. So that's really important to keep in mind. And, go ahead.
What are some of the practices that you have learned that are really, I mean, that our audience could take home right now and use to kind of find themselves?
Right. Well, for example, on the very basic level, you know, when I have learned now, when I have something coming, I get triggered. I still get triggered. I'm not enlightened. I'm not awake fully. You know, sometimes I have my days, my down days, negative emotions come up. I get depressed, angry, frustrated. Something triggered me. So in the past, I used to avoid it, right? I just distract myself with this and that, you know, or I would just lash out on someone and just be mad at the world. But now I realize, okay, there's something happening within me. I need to confront it, look into it. So I just simply, I calm my body. I get into my body. What I usually do is some basic yoga. Recently, I like Qigong a lot, just really get into more meditative state via relaxing the body, my nervous system. And then I go full into meditation, scan my body, really and just feel without any judgment what comes up. And then I've sensed, okay, this anger or like this, or for example, this sadness, just this something locked in my heart, I just feel it without judging it, right? And as I just scan it without trying to change it, something deeper opens up, and sometimes just emotions come up and I start crying, just this purging happens. And it's not even associated with a story and nothing comes up, which is fine. It's just the body is just doing its thing and it transmutes. And sometimes when I work through the sadness or depression, something deeper opens up. And then all of a sudden I realize under the sadness, there was anger, deep rage, like my inner child still being pissed off at something I hasn't fully let go of. Right. And then like, whoa, there's this anger. Like, how do I process that now? And then for me personally, again, it has been about getting to my body. For me, music, playing drums, playing in a heavy metal band has helped to release that a lot. Or recently it's been dance and just like just sweating it out and all of that. Or
I do a lot of that too, Bernard. I got my bass guitar. I'm thumping on it. I mean, you can't stop me every day. I got to play. I mean, I don't care. I'm not even in a band. I got to play. And I got my music collection and I dance. And I try to really...
You know. That's what I mean. Like when we talk about all esoteric concepts, people can think, oh, this is so far out there. But no, it's actually a very basic process we can just do on a daily basis. And it just takes practice.
I actually have Gurdjieff on vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, all the magicians throughout time, the music has been a huge part of this. Look at Mozart. Just that emotional body is what we're talking about right here. And we act as if our emotional body has no place in our world. It's just something that we got to kind of pet and keep happy in a corner or something. But it has everything to do with our health, everything to do with what happens to us, right? The synchronicities, the coincidences, and those type of things will turn negative if you're negative. You know, you'll get the worst if you expect the worst. And if you believe what you believe, you really tend to get.
Yeah. Well, on that note, it's also important to, because many of us, you know, can be very hard on ourselves and the self judgment, and which I've been a lot, especially coming, you know, from Germany, very productive, focused, always like I need to do something. If I don't do something productive, I feel guilty.
Right. And that's going around, brother.
Right. So it's like, oof. So I had to work through that to be consciously lazy and not and be fine with it, just be.
That's so hard, right? Isn't it? Just to like say, okay, so I got this time, you know, and that's why we're not artists, you know. That's why most people aren't breaking out the paintbrushes. Although there are hours upon hours of checking your email or, you know, surfing the web or watching television or even playing video games. You got hours upon hours to yourself, but you're really instead just killing time till it's time to go back to the real world, trying not to think about anything. Right. And we don't get anything out of ourselves like art and more expression.
Absolutely. And then even like what, you know, if people at work at my retreats in Peru or my private clients, you know, what I always tell them, also speaking out of experience, consistency is key, right? Like you said, if you have time to scroll on Facebook for an hour, you certainly have time to just meditate and go inside and feel or just do any embodiment practices for just even 10, 15 minutes a day, right? That's already a great start. But consistency every day, way more effective than once a week for an hour or something like that, right? I mean, it goes to the to the quote by Bruce Lee, like he said, relating it to martial arts, that he said, I'm not afraid of the person who knows 1,000 different moves, but afraid of the person who has practiced one move 1,000 times, right? Because through this process, despite like clearing ourselves from all this emotional stuff and like anchoring this higher frequency, then at the same time, we literally rewire our brain, right, on the physiological level. And then through this embodiment process, which also ties into connecting to the divine feminine, to the feminine principle within of just being and tuned into our wholeness, then we also experience, like you mentioned, synchronicities and guidance that is out there, you know, that speaks to us in symbolisms, and nature is always there to guide us to where we specifically need to be in our own individual process, what decisions to make, what to choose and what not to choose, right? That is really in alignment with ourselves. And that also removes us essentially from the addiction to authority. This whole authoritarianism is really a manifestation of being caught in the male aspect of consciousness and having lost our inner guidance, right? So the more we engage in this embodiment process, the more we find our own inner guidance, the divine within, spirit within, whatever you may want to call it, and are not, you know, frantically looking for answers out there or somebody to lead the way or save us, right?
Right. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I often say quit your job, save the world. And honestly, this is what I mean. Once you free yourself up from all the bindings that we have in our brains that are conditioning us to exist in this particular fashion, then you'll find that actually life expands in greater ways and so many better ways without the plan. And you can then, you find things that you would have never, ever even thought of or considered. I mean, if you're trying to believe that you can control reality down to this little matrix that allows you to pick and choose what you're going to do, you're crazy. Especially right now, as your time of transition YouTube channel, but the time of transition at this moment, I mean, you know, you could have been a photographer back in the day and making, you know, Kodak, look at Kodak, 3 years later, they're gone, right? Because technology just changes everything. And you think you're going to plan your future right now. Things are moving so fast that we can't keep up.
Yeah. I mean, that's, well, on that note, I don't have, you know, that's in my own personal process where I'm at right now. I don't have goals. I don't even have ambition, right? It doesn't mean I'm just a couch potato and just, you know, whatever, hang around. I work with intentions, right? You know, but I'm more like responding to life rather than willful doing, because I realize more and more the futility of personal will in this day and age of, you know, and life has taught me also the hard way most often that it was not really about quote unquote me, what I thought I wanted. You know, like the saying, tell God your plans and he will laugh at you. I mean, when I first, I came from Germany in the 90s to the US to study drums and percussion, play in bands. And that's what I wanted to do, right? As a 20-year-old, you know, lead the rock and roll life and be on tour and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was very focused playing drums 6 hours a day and all of that. That's what I wanted to do. But in that process, which I now looking back, you know, relates to shamanic drumming, all this stuff came out within me and forced me to question the world, myself, and got me all into these topics. I found another talent, which also led me to body work, the healing arts and all of that. And, you know, I started to write and now I'm doing what I'm doing and what I'm doing now. And if anybody would have told me or whatever 15 years ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have laughed him in his face. So it's almost like something else open up, right? You like in the hero's journey, you answer the call and you step into the unknown. And then you got to also be willing to get out of your comfort zone, embrace the discomfort, and sometimes jump and let the net appear and embrace the unknown, right? That's really the path for any of us. We need to develop the deeper trust and faith in life, you know, and faith not relating to any religious notion of God, but faith that there's something bigger at work here and a bigger plan and a higher force that we need to align ourselves with. And then most often we don't always get what we want in a particular life situation. And most often the desires and wants we have, especially in the past, were based on social, cultural conditioning anyway. But we most often get what we need in terms of the awakening process and the growth of the soul and the soul embodiment. And sometimes that also entails challenging situations, right? Which make no sense in the moment they happen and can create a lot of suffering. But once you work through it and learn the lessons and we look back, we realize that was actually initiation, a true initiation in terms of, you know, esoteric work, a rite of passage. But we have no way to put it into context, understand, because as we said before, our culture and society doesn't provide any form of rite of passage into adulthood or anything, right? We're being programmed in school, and then you're at the age of 18, you're supposed to know what to do with your life and choose your career and all of that, right? While internally there's something completely different going on. So yeah, it's really, you know, that's what I see in this day and age, especially nowadays. I feel more and more about slowing down, simplifying, right? Like, don't buy into that hysteria, right? And really work more with intention. And when we slow down our minds, tune more into our bodies and develop that sensitivity, then, you know, almost miracles can happen in terms of guidance and synchronicity that lead us to what we truly want on a deeper level. And again, I need to emphasize that process is a highly individual process, which is different for each of us, depending on our own individual soul lessons and soul talents, because everyone here has something to provide that is specific to him or her, nobody else can provide, right? And that really, that's how we shine in our work, in what we do in service. And that throws out any sense of competition as well, right?
Without a doubt. And I've seen this, and folks, you'll be surprised once you reach this level of sense of security, how much will rise to the surface. And as Bernard was saying, tears will just, you know, unabashedly just flow from your face, and you will shake and quiver, and you'll find that you have been holding all of this inside and you had no idea, because we have our walls up, we have shields at full power, and we are really trying to just bully through as a survivor man. Like I said in the beginning, you know, just, you know, got to make the fire or I'm going to freeze to death is kind of where we're at right now. And what I've learned along the way, Bernard, is that if I accept the worst possible outcome of my fear, if I have a fear, say it's, you know, it's the law, the authority or something of that effect, and I will just accept the ultimate worst possible scenario and say, okay, that's something I can live through. Of course, once you accept it, all of that fear goes away and the negative doesn't seem to occur.
Right. I mean, that's a very great point, which I can very much relate to, because I used to be an expert in worrying.
Yeah.
I worried about a lot and this and that. And then especially when you get into that kind of work, the paranoia that comes with it and like, oh my God, you know, but in retrospect, like you said, literally every fear or worry I had, you know, what would happen to me or the world never came past, right? Never really happened. I mean, even on the collective level, I've heard about the brutal economic meltdown, or even now the fear of Third World War was out, which we've been under that threat for the past 30 years anyway. It never really happened. You know, it's like there's something else weirdly happening and morphing and changing. And I'm not saying it's all getting better. It's, you know, it's all in the dark and light coming out at the same time. But the mind can come make up all kinds of if scenarios and fear projections into the future, which are all illusions, because fear can only exist in time, you know, and time ultimately is an illusion because there's only this present moment. So we project all, the mind project all these if scenarios, which are ridiculous because the mind can never perceive wholeness or let alone the complexity and holistic nature of life. So it's incredible self-defeating. So what I've learned myself, and I recommend to others, is like you don't necessarily need to believe every thought you have. They may not be even your own thoughts, right? They're mind control techniques from government or the hyperdimensional forces injecting thoughts that are not even our own thoughts, right? So that really ties into like getting out of our heads and not making decisions from our head, but tuning more into this deeper inner guidance. And that, yeah, that does take practice to really come to that state. And then
it takes realization first.
Realization, right? Absolutely. That realization and that
you have maladaptive programming.
Exactly. And that's internal, you know, that is, again, it's a very destructive process. Like Adyashanti said, enlightenment is a destructive process, right? And and we need to be careful not to intellectualize, because then people throw in all these universal higher truths like all is one, you know, or like there's only the present moment and fear is an illusion and all love is all this, which is true from this higher perspective. But unless you have truly experienced that and embodied that, right?
Yes. And we didn't come here for that. We did not come here for that, folks. We came here to knock our heads. Just like the Buddhists that have reached Samdhi, you know, they get bored up there. You know, everything's all perfect and blissful. We don't want that. Not as humans. We strive for this challenge and we live up to it. And that's what makes us so amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's, you know, and that in the sense, again, it's like, keeping the bigger picture in mind that this is the evolution of consciousness and this is a natural process that's happening, you know, the alchemical transmutation and the rebirth. And, you know, what you mentioned before about all the fears and all of that and what could happen here and there, essentially all the fears are rooted in the fear of death, right? That's really what it comes down to. And the ego, our personality identification, who we quote unquote think we are, is very afraid of death because it means it's annihilation, right? The whole concept of who we think we are.
Oh, that ego slip thing is frightening. Yeah. I've been through that. I tried the, not ayahuasca, but the other one that's a leaf that you smoke. It was legal there for a bit.
Why I forget? I know what you mean, but
yeah, it'll pop in somewhere there, folks. But it starts salvia? With an S. I know that.
Salvia.
Yes, thank you. And I had a massive ego slip on that, and I went amnesiac. And I will never, ever, ever allow that stuff anywhere near my person ever again, because that ego slip that I felt. And it carried on for months, frightened the living daylights out of me. All I could keep thinking was, well, what will I be if I'm not me?
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel myself just basically rising out of my body. And I knew that my body would just carry on and continue forward in this situation, but I wouldn't be there anymore. And that whole question of I and what, and you know, oh, it really, really freaked me out, Bernard. It really did. And I still can't honestly think about ego slip at this time because it will literally trigger me.
Right. See, but that's the deep alchemical esoteric process of the second birth, the true awakening, where we need to pass through a death. And that's unfortunately a lot of people are trying to avoid consciously, unconsciously, and project outwardly. Right.
Right.
And actually feed into this whole matrix set up by these occult forces that keep us in this lower frequency, five sensory perception, ego, death avoidance, survival consciousness. Right. It's all based on the fear of death. And even when we have every little fear we have in our daily lives to make the wrong choice or go there, into the unknown and onto our path, the hero's journey is based on this fear of death. So, you know, what I've in my practice, especially in the past years, I had an intense phase. I don't think I've written about it, but I was, you know, in my late 20s, early 30s, I was really obsessed with near-death experiences. Once I found, you know, psychedelics, mushrooms, and DMT and all of that, and, you know, I found it through partying, but then I got introduced to shamanism, and I would lock myself into a dark room, eight grams of mushrooms, and just go.
Yeah.
You know, high doses, and just, like, tried to go, instill a near-death experience, even expanded with ketamine, which was a horrible experience. Right. But it was just experimental. But, you know, I really didn't know what I was doing back then. You know, and I came out fine. But, you know, it brought up a lot more than my psyche could handle. So I needed to stop all of that and get more, do work in a grounded manner without these substances. But I also learned to really, you know, keep death on my left shoulder, as Castaneda said, to periodically contemplate on death. And there's even the exercise by Gurdjieff, he calls it the last hour of death, when you like take a time during the day and contemplate that this is your last hour to live. How would you live that last hour, right? Consciously. We're not talking about fuck it all, I'm going to party and take all drugs. But like, how would you reconcile your relationships? How would, you know, how would you truly act if you knew this is your last hour of life, right? And then you see that, you know, all the fears you ever had were just petty fears that don't make any sense. And that can initiate a rebirth in itself. So, you know, confronting death within ourselves is part of the journey of awakening, because that really eradicates any other fears, but it is a threat to the ego through the personality self-identification we all have. But that fear is also the reason why the world is quote-unquote in the state it is in, and why so many people are being manipulated, because they are in fear.
Without a doubt. Well, how can people take advantage of your integrative bodywork and holistic coaching?
Well, I offer, you know, I do integrative bodywork, which is different bodywork massage techniques combined and energy work, which I've learned over the past 15 years and developed my own, because I find bodywork a great way to help people get into their bodies, out
we
of the mind.
So much more of that. Yes. There's so little human contact going on right now, Bernard.
And just nurturing touch, right?
It doesn't exist. Yeah. We are so isolated.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that. And it helps. I noticed once the body's relaxed, because the body is the mind, our bodies and muscles and tension with all the stress stored, stored trauma, stored childhood wounds and all of that. And sometimes an unwinding and process happens when I work on the person and the person emotionally processed because a certain muscle tension released a trauma or wound from childhood. And it needs to, the release needs to happen through the body. So in general, I can highly recommend getting body work on a regular basis. It's not just pampering. It's really like preventive medicine and can be deeply, deeply healing, right? So that's what I provide. I work out of my studio here in Topanga Canyon, California. And I offer also what I call holistic coaching at my home, also through Skype or phone, where I help people, you know, in their own individual journey and whatever they want to process to more general, you know, stuff of finding their purpose or feeling lost, to more difficulties on their path, even relating to entity interference and attachments and all of that. And for me, my the way I work, I'm not telling anyone what they should or shouldn't do. I don't have like a list of 10 how-tos. I really like, my approach is very intuitive. I tune into the person and want to help him or her to, you know, connect to their own inner guidance to see what is right for them. Because having worked with literally thousands of people over the past 15 of years, I know what works for one person may not work for another. What works for me may not work for you, right? So I really acknowledge and honor the individual process and where they're at and, you know, just give some guidance along that way.
Fantastic. Folks, his website is veilofreality.com. You can get all the contact information you need right there to get in touch with Bernard. And if you're in Topanga, I highly recommend getting out there and getting in work. I've got to say, folks, that we need more contact. This is critical to our healing path. And if we, more of us, can pick up on this holistic healing lifestyle and be able to transfer this energy and release the dark side from others, release this fear, allow that sense of security, nurture, and the feeling of home, and you will see that healing the emotional body will totally transform the entire world. And so if you think this is hokey, you got to recognize first and foremost, as we discussed in the beginning, that this magic is real. These people have been doing this for centuries and millennia. And this is a common knowledge of mystics within our societies that has been pushed out, pushed away, and we have no contact now. We are in complete isolation. So right at the beginning, right at the door, if you can release your soul enough to be able to give a massage to another person, then you're already on your healing path by healing them. And I have seen miracles performed and have had them performed on me. The touch of the human hands to the body in a massage way, in a way that is intuitively, like Bernard is saying, in connection with this other person's body, will release triggers that will astound you. I have been through this myself, through Reiki, through other mystic healers that had no idea they had power, that had worked on my back. I felt electric shocks. I felt things released that have been locked inside of my muscles forever and ever. I felt every cup of coffee and caffeine get pushed out and all the sugars, and I purged all of that from my system and felt like a newborn being. This is the possibility for all of us if we're willing to share ourselves with one another. And that's all I have to say about that, because that would save the world, folks. Gunther, any last thoughts for our listeners before we go head over to the members section?
No, that was beautifully said. Just a quick note, you know, also in terms of my work in general, what is important to keep in mind that a healer is not healing people. A healer, true healer, which I also consider my work, is a facilitator. So I'm holding space, and through my work and techniques, I address the body intelligence of the client I'm working in, and that our own bodies is always striving towards healing and wholeness and processing if we just create the space, especially in the body, to let it happen. Right. So it's right. Also not expecting for other people like, oh, can this guy heal me and all of this? And there are some sketchy personalities out there promise all kinds of magical healings right? It's about taking responsibility for our own healing process and also honoring that we are healing ourselves, right? And it's not always depends on another person. It's a mutual process. It's just about creating the right situation and space to let this deeper process happen.
Absolutely. Patience is key right there because so many of us have so little of it. I wonder if we can even sit for 15 minutes. Let's put that challenge out there. So folks, we're in a time now where they just announced they found 7 more Earth-like planets nearly 40 light years away, orbiting a single sun. We're at this point where the archetypal forces of the world are clashing together, and we're seeing it outwardly, and we're realizing that we need to work inwardly. So thank you, Bernard, so much for this time. And we're going to take this over to the members section. We're going to get more into the bit of strangeness, hyperdimensional physics, on into UFOs and what the thoughts are on alien beings as they are now bringing this more and more to the surface, perhaps just to cloak all of the pedophilia that's going on. Who knows? We're going to discuss that as well. So if you're not a member yet, get over to freemantv.com and subscribe. Right now, we are really making a push. I learned that I'm broke again. So making a push towards getting a television show. I really want to get this message out to a larger audience. So the more of you that subscribe, the closer I get to that goal. We have flash drives for you that have all the shows, all the hours, all the members' content. Just get the flash drive and you get everything that we've been putting out. Or just come over to Freeman TV, subscribe, share, like, do all that good stuff, give us good ratings, and this way this show will progress because as we're learning right now, they are shutting us down. Google ads are being yanked from websites, Google algorithms are ignoring news sites, everybody that's in this free press right now is being shut down. And I honestly don't complain about it very often, but the truth is, folks, I've been in this lockdown for a long time. I'm on my 9th Facebook profile, if I ever get it back on. I don't even know. I don't even care. I don't even want to go back to Facebook. I'm just sticking to Twitter. So follow me, Freeman TV, on Twitter. And this lockdown's been happening to me for a long time, so I guess I just considered it all part of the game. But now it's happening on a larger scale, so we need you more than ever to share this information, to share the pages and everything, because otherwise no one's going to see it, ever know it's here. It's up to you to do that. So thank you guys so much for supporting me all these years and keeping this thing going. And I'm going to just keep taking this thing as it goes and let life unfold in front of me as I boldly go into the mind unknown. So thank you all so much again, and we will see you all next week. Members, I can't wait to open the door on the other side. So we'll see you there.